This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, not busy with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born. May all beings be happy. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That is such a nice sutta, nice text to chant. Hello, everybody. I heard that we have, even today, not just from Armadale, but even from America and Asia. So it's no longer the Armadale group. We should think of another name. the worldwide meditation group, Tuesday group. But still most people from Armadale, so welcome everybody. While I was chanting the Metta Sutta, I need a little reminder, because we don't chant this never in the monastery. Only chant it for basically only for this. And maybe one of the reasons why we don't chant it in the monastery is Ajahn Brahm. He said in a talk last week that when they used to chant the Metta Sutta, not this one, but a slightly different one, the one that has more meditation instructions in there, about spreading your kindness throughout the entire world, spreading your love and peace. And Ajahn Brahm, many years ago when they used to chant that, he said, when I used to chant that and I did those instructions, I spread the love through the entire world, it got so strong that I couldn't chant anymore. The feeling was too powerful for me to be able to still chant, said Ajahn Brahm. So he went to the then senior monk and said to him, I think we should take this chanting out of our standard chanting list, because I just can't do it. The mind is and the heart become too powerful. And when Ajahn Brahm said that, actually he has said that before already, a long time ago, but when he said that, I thought, that sounds to me a bit weird, you know? You can chant, how hard is it to chant? Even when you're meditating, you can still, no. I mean, you can chant, right? That's what I was thinking. So I didn't really know what Ajahn Brahm was talking about. But then the other day, last Wednesday, we did chanting in the monastery, and we came to the part that goes like this. Nati me saranang anyang buddho me saranang varang etena sacca vajjena sotite ho tu sabada. Nati me saranang anyang dhammo me saranang varang etena sacca vajjena sotite ho tu sabada. Natti me saranang anyang sangho me saranang varang etena sacca vajjena sotite hotu sabbada. And I'll tell you later what that means, but when we were chanting that, I couldn't chant anymore. I had the same as Ajahn Brahm, because I was spreading this idea, this what I'll explain to you later, of the triple refuge. I had been practicing that recollection all week in my hut. And when we came to the chanting in the monastery, basically the whole power that I had built up from that whole week of meditating, it came up, and I just had to focus on the feeling and spread the feeling instead of chanting. So then I understood what Ajahn Brahm meant when he said he couldn't chant in the Metta Sutta. He must have been doing lots of Metta meditation beforehand. So that little chanting I just did, it means something like, the Buddha is, there's no refuge like the Buddha. The Buddha is the best refuge for me. May everybody be happy because of that. Something like that is what it means. And may I be happy because of that. And also, the Dhamma is the best refuge, and the Sangha is my best refuge. By refuge, I mean something you can rely on. That's what it means. So why have I been meditating on that? Well, because the last few weeks, actually, in my life, and I think in many people's lives, it has shown that life is very unreliable. We had here in Australia, we had the bushfires 2 weeks ago in Perth. And the nuns' monastery, Dhammasara, the fire got very, very close. The nuns actually had to evacuate from the monastery. And the fire got within a couple hundred meters of the monastery. So this is a very uncertain time for those nuns. What is going to happen? Yeah. Unfortunately, the fire turned the other way, and the nuns are safe now. The monastery is safe, so that's all good. And at the same time, when those fires were there was also, as you people from here Australia will know, we had the lockdown for the COVID. And generally, Western Australia has been doing very well with the COVID, retaining the COVID virus. But that week it was a little outbreak, and that also shows you how uncertain life is. And then in my personal life, my brother almost lost his job in the same time as well. So also for him shows how uncertain it is. Luckily, he was able to still keep his job, so very happy for him. And another thing, my uncle has cancer and is... Well, they say it's terminal, so he's still quite young, my uncle, younger than my father. So, again, shows you that you can't never really rely on external things, on things in the world. I can't even rely on me being a monk in this monastery. Why? because I am originally from the Netherlands, and I have to get a visa every couple of years, a visa to be able to stay here in Australia, in Bodenjana. And they keep changing the regulations every year, making it harder and harder and harder. You can imagine that there is no real standard way to in the regulations of visa to treat monks. We are always outside of all the boxes. So we're always the weirdos, basically, when it comes to these kind of things. Not just with visa, but with all these regulations things, we're always the weird guys who will never fit in. So we have to always be a bit creative with the visa thing. Well, creative is not the right word, but we have to, every year when a new visa comes up, it's always a bit of a challenge. And this time for my visa, it was harder than ever before. So I was doing my visa applications, nominations and whatever sponsorship they call it. And at some point I was starting to feel really a little bit anxious about it. About where can I stay here in Bodenjana, or do I have to leave and go back to the Netherlands? There's not really any monasteries like this in the Netherlands. So I was starting to think too much, basically, about it. I got too much anxiety and restlessness because not knowing what the future brings, you know? Imagine that your life is being a monk and suddenly this is basically my home, and maybe suddenly I would have to leave my home for some reason, right? So you can imagine why I got a bit worried. But I'm not worried at all anymore now. Not at all, because I did that reflection. What is my refuge, I thought. Bodenjana is not my refuge. This monastery is not my refuge, not my thing that I rely on. The Buddha and the Dhamma and the Sangha, they are my refuge. And the Buddha and the Dhamma and the Sangha, you can take everywhere. Because to take refuge in the Buddha, it means that it can mean various things, but to me it means a faith that there was somebody, we have got a little statue here of the Buddha, and that there was somebody who was incredibly wise and kind and peaceful, and who knew the way to real happiness, and some guide you can rely on. And that he laid down a path, and a path of meditation that we will practice very soon, that is always going to lead to good. It only leads to good results in the end. Sometimes you may have maybe a little bit of a bad meditation, sometimes it's good, but in the long term it will only lead to good results. And that is just to have that realization that my meditation, whatever I do, whenever I do meditation, it will always, 100% of the time, lead eventually to peace and happiness and virtue and good things, basically, the things that you want in life. That is a much better refuge than a monastery or whatever refuge you try to have in the world. Even your body is not a real refuge, because it will get sick and old and eventually die. You can't rely on. Yeah. But the refuge of the Buddha you can, and the Dhamma. The Dhamma is basically the teachings of the Buddha. And we use those teachings every time a monk or a nun, or sometimes also lay people, they teach you about the word of the Buddha. They teach you the meditation. You can trust, if it's a good monk or nun, that these teachings also only lead to good. And these teachings are something you can rely on. These principles, even the principles of nature in your meditation, it's always peace is never wrong. Let me put it that way. Peace is always good. And then there is also the refuge of the Sangha. The Sangha, you can also, you can, when it talks about the refuge of the Sangha, it means that not only the monks and the nuns, but also lay people who have realized what the Buddha was talking about, those are also included in that sangha. So you could widen that out and say, my sangha is today is the Armadale meditation group and the rest of the world, whoever is watching, yeah. You could say, that is now my sangha. I can sort of rely on those people. They are good people. We come together, virtually, but hopefully one day we'll be able to come together again. And we come together and do good things together. And we try to practice all these things in the Metta Sutta, spreading love and kindness, be calm and peaceful. And that is just, what better refuge can you want than a group of people like that? So that's sort of an idea of what I've been practicing in my meditation over the last couple of weeks. And that really made me so stable and no more anxiety at all about this visa stuff. Whatever happens, if I leave Australia, I take the triple refuge with me. Just take 3 big bags, one with the Buddha, one with the Dhamma, one with the Sangha, and I'll be fine. So I would like to guide you through a little meditation where maybe I'll put in some recollection or reflections on these 3 things. And for those of you who maybe not really Buddhist but just interested in meditation, then you can always think, when we talk about the Buddha, it's basically the meditation teacher. So whether that is you believe whether the Buddha existed or not, at least he was a good meditation teacher. Yeah. And the Dhamma is basically the teachings of meditations, as I've said before. And the Sangha for today is just our meditation group. So even for those who are watching, I know there's people watching who don't really identify with the Buddhist ideas, but they like the meditation. So maybe you adjust the recollections a bit to suit you. So let's do a nice meditation together. And if during this guided meditation you feel like your mind wants to do something else, wants to maybe meditate in a slightly different way, then feel free to ignore my instructions. Yeah, the mind is different every time. Every meditation is always different. This is a problem with guided meditations. I can only, I can try to guide you, but maybe your mind is not ready for this or wants to do something else. So feel free to do that if you want to. So let's sit down nice and comfortably and find a nice place to sit and close your eyes. Then take a little moment to arrive in this place where you are now, to arrive in the moment, to arrive in your body, arrive in your mind. What is this moment like right now? Don't try to change it, alter it. No, just ask yourself, what is it like now? I can hear the rain on the roof of the thunderstorm. And after a little bit of talking that I did, I noticed my mind is a little bit agitated compared to before the talking. And I don't try to make it more peaceful. I just notice it. So I know just basically just get the layout of the land in meditation. Just check your own body and mind, surroundings. What is it like just this moment? There's no need to worry about the past. No need to worry about the future. The past is done, finished, left behind. The future still to come, whatever it will bring, we don't know. The best way to prepare is by being in this present moment. And after you've settled in the moment, your mind now knows it's time for meditation. So you can leave behind all the other stuff that you may have been doing beforehand. And all the stuff that you might do afterwards. It's not important right now. Just give your mind a clear instruction. I'm not going to think about those things. I'm going to be in the moment. Just give yourself those instructions. In whatever way or language that works for you. I'm just gonna be here, centered, in the present, peaceful, happy. No worries. And after you settle in the moment and you've instructed your mind that it's time now to meditate, not work out any problems or whatever. After that, bring your attention to your body. And again, just get a little bit of an layout of the land. What is going on in your body? What kind of feelings are there? Maybe you notice some pain or strain. Maybe some stress somewhere in your body. Then don't react in a negative way. Instead, smile towards your body. I mean, a mental smile. Be kind towards your body. And if you do that, you'll notice it will relax all by itself, even as I'm talking. I feel my body straightening up because I was sitting in a bad posture. But it's just doing that all by itself. I'm not doing that. Your body knows exactly what to do, as long as you're kind to the body. So relax your body. Let all the muscles in your face get loose. Let them surrender to gravity. And the muscles in your neck and shoulders, the same with those. Some people carry so much weight on their shoulders. By that I mean they get all tensed up in their shoulders. That's okay though. Just be kind towards that as well. If you are one of those people, just be kind to your shoulders, poor shoulders. You can relax right now as much as you can at this moment. We chanted before, even as a mother protects with her life her only child, so should one cherish all living beings. Well, you are a living being, so cherish your body as if it were your little baby. You don't go fault finding with a baby. You don't get angry at a baby. You try to just make it as peaceful as possible. Hold it gently in your arms. Rock it back and forth. And it's the same attitude we have towards our body. Protect it like a child. Relax your whole body. Or I say relax your whole body, but it's better just let your body relax. From the top of your head, your face, your neck, your shoulders, all the way down, your back, your hips, your knees, your feet. Just let everything relax. So nice just to be here, nothing to do. Just sit. How hard can that be? And now I will guide you through a little reflection on the Buddha, his teachings, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. But if you feel inclined to just keep relaxing your body, or do maybe focus on your breathing, and that's okay as well. Bring up in your mind idea of the Buddha, or of a teacher, whatever that means to you, whatever makes it powerful to you. Imagine that teacher, that Buddha. Imagine he or she sits right in front of you. And he or she or they smile at you, a wise smile. Such a peaceful teacher. They've only got your interest in mind. The Buddha, he could have gone and meditated in a cave for the rest of his life, but he didn't. Because he said, I have compassion for the future generations. And that includes us. We can be so grateful that this teacher existed and in a way still exists through his teachings, which are still very much alive today. This Buddha, or this idea of the Buddha, something we can rely on. It's a refuge for us. Much better refuge than all the external things in the world. A house or a job or a monastery or your body, even your life. Those are not true refuges. But the spiritual teacher, that's a true refuge. And the reflection of the Dhamma, the Buddha's teachings. Some of you may know more of those teachings than others of you. But all of you will know that the Buddha's teachings are about peace and kindness. Maybe this is your first time hearing about these things, but then you've already heard this, the text that we've chanted at the introduction about being gentle, humble, not demanding peace and calm. Wow. What a great teachings those are. Isn't that what the world really needs? Isn't that what we really need as well? What do we really need in life? What gives us real security? What we really need is not the next sensual pleasure or the next friend or partner. No, we need these kind of teachings. We can be so grateful for these teachings. Thank you, Buddha, for sharing these lovely teachings. And make a determination to try and practice those teachings as best as you can. It won't be perfect, and we take it easy. There's no rush. But we try. That's all that matters. And I say we try. We all try. This brings us to the Sangha, the whole Sangha of meditators throughout the world. What a wonderful people they are. Not just those meditators now, but all generations back, hundreds of years, 2.5 millennia of meditators. Of Buddhists since the time of the Buddha. Wow! Who was the quote again? By standing on the shoulders of giants. That's basically what we're doing here, in a sense. We rely on all the people who practice this spiritual path now or in the past. We can't do these things by ourselves. So whatever this means to you, this word Sangha, imagine those people. I imagine the Buddha's first disciples. And then all the way, they brought their teaching somehow through all the generations, came to us. Wow, that is something. That is something else. This is really a refuge. All the people living right now who practice Buddhism. Especially those ones who've understood the core of the Buddha's teachings and who know what real happiness is. So grateful for those people we can be. Because sometimes we lose focus. What is happiness? Those people can remind us. And now gather all the happiness that you've built up by doing this recollection. Gather it. All together. And maybe see if all this joy and happiness, see if you can combine it somehow with the breath, the traditional meditation object. Breathe in joy. Breathe out joy. Breathe in joy, breathe out joy. The breath itself is also a refuge. Because this is what the Buddha taught us to focus on. The triple refuge, in a sense. We can combine that, all the three in the breathing. We can rely on the breath. The Buddha said, focus on the breathing. Makes you peaceful. And we take our breath wherever we go. So the breath is a refuge for us. I've been talking a lot, I know, but I'll shut up now for another 10 minutes or so and just let you meditate by yourself. Let you have the refuge of meditation, of the breathing, of the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. We are coming close to the end of this meditation. Ask yourself, how do I feel now? Am I more joyful, more peaceful? If so, why? Ask yourself. Or are we more agitated? And if so, just acknowledge it. That can happen. But also ask yourself, why? What did you do to agitate yourself? This way we learn. We get feedback from our meditation. Now just enjoy a few more breaths. Breathe in and out. And slowly come out of your meditation. When I ring the bell 3 times. As I said before, you can't rely on anything. You can't rely on computers either. So instead, just rely on the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, on your meditation. On these lovely words. Rely on peace. Rely on kindness and love. And if you do that, you will have a wonderful life with very little anxiety. Very little worries, and your meditation will take off like a rocket, going to Mars, Pluto, beyond, to the edge of the universe, and even beyond the edge of the universe, to where there is nothing left but peace. So thank you everybody for joining me today. I know this meditation was a bit different to what you're probably used to. I always like to do something different when I do a guided meditation, because my view is, you already know the standard ways of meditating. Yeah, why should I tell you about that again? So, come in, please. Maybe this is our savior for the IT stuff. But so I teach you something new. So maybe you found it useful. Maybe you found it not so useful. Then that's all right as well. Just disregard whatever I said. Hello, I was talking about uncertainty. Did you get that? So even the IT is uncertainty. I don't know what happened there, but it's working again now. We still have the recording, should be okay. Okay, so I don't know how much of that talk you got, how much you heard, but if there's any questions, then I can listen to them and maybe have an answer or not.
If you do have a question, you'll have to unmute yourself.
Right.
Anybody?
Question? If I may, this is Martha. I'm in Spartanburg, South Carolina, in the United States. Thank you very much for this meditation and that reflection, because although the circumstances are different in terms of, you know, visa and whatnot for you, it's, and I mean, obviously, I think probably everybody has that problem with external circumstances and relying on those and them being so uncertain. I don't know if there's any way you can speak about lay people trying to balance being, you know, because we do, I have to pay bills. I have to, you know, I wish I could work more, but alas, I'm not able to right now. Is there just, can you speak to how a lay person might balance having to rely on the external circumstances and then, you know, taking refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha? That's very helpful. I wrote this down about something very difficult I have to do today. But if there's, yeah, if you have any wisdom about that, that would be very helpful, Venerable. Thank you.
Yeah, well, even us monks and nuns, we also still rely on external things. Of course, most of our life is about the teachings of the Buddha, but we also have to do other things. We are in this monastery, we're building some new huts now for the monks, for places to live, and that also gives some of the monks a lot of business as well. But for lay people, of course, as you said, that is even there's even more business. So what can we do about that? Well, first thing is not to see business or work or paying bills or whatever, see that as something bad, just see it as a part of life as well. Yeah? And then if you see everything as a part of life, you can put it in a bigger picture. Try to put everything into a framework of your spiritual practice. And by that I mean you can put everything in a framework of what I mentioned before, peace and love and kindness and wisdom. When you do the bills, you have a choice. Do you do the bills grudgingly? Ah, I have to pay all these bills every time. Always. And they keep growing every year. They ask more for the rent. They ask more for electricity. Do you do your bills like that? Or do you do your bills like, okay, I relinquish this money to you. You can have all my money. You see, there is a choice there. Huh? And work. Yeah. How do you do your work? You go to work. Ah, oh, this stupid boss, he doesn't understand anything of what I am about. He is, or maybe she is, such a pain in the whatever, pain in the nose. Yeah, and you could think like that. And I had thought like that when I had a job as a layperson. Yeah. But you can also think, oh, okay, I am a Buddhist. I should not think like that. Yeah? Radiating kindness over the entire world. All living beings, even the pain in the nose beings. We are kind to them as well. So, if you think like that, you change your mind. I can be kind to this boss as well. Maybe the boss is not so wise, but you know, we're all at some stage in life, and I just do kindness to that boss instead. And you'll find, if you're kind to people, they'll be kind to you as well. So this way, you can apply these kind of ideas to everything in life. Driving your car, eating, sleeping, going to the gym, whatever you do. I don't know what you do. You can always have a choice. Do you do it with so-called bad intentions, or do you do it with nice and good intentions? Yeah? And if we put our spiritual practice as the number one thing in our life, the most important thing, then we are always inclined to have the good mind states instead of the bad ones. So this way you can frame your life and have the frame as being like your practice of spirituality or meditation, and put that as the number one thing. Have that as the highest priority. And if you do that, you always have that to rely on. And you'll be also a better person. You might say, oh, if I put spirituality as my highest priority, then all the rest will not get so much attention anymore, your job and your bills. But you'll find out it's the other way around, actually. Or sorry, it doesn't work that way. Because if you keep your spiritual practice, your meditation as important, then you'll be so much more clear in life. You'll have more energy, you have more brightness, more joy, and you can tackle all the problems with bosses and bills much more easily. And you will find you'll have much more time in the end, because you can do things so much more effectively. So that's hope that answers your question to some extent. So, anybody else has a question?
Should I go, Venerable? It's just a general one, because we have members here today who find it difficult to be part of a community because there's not too many people in the local area. You may have had the same thing maybe in Holland, but not to such a great extent, but did you have a community to start up with when you first started?
No. Yeah. Thanks. No, when I first started meditating, I thought I was the only Buddhist in the Netherlands. That's what I thought. Well, actually, I started with meditation and I didn't really consider myself a Buddhist for quite a while. Until I got more interested in the more like Buddhist aspects as well. So for a long time I thought I was the only Buddhist. And yeah, that in a way that felt a bit lonely in a sense, because I had no community to go back to, and things like this weren't there. This live streaming, maybe it probably existed already, but yeah, I can imagine if people are in that situation that it is it's difficult, because to have a group of people who are inclined in the same way to practice these kind of teachings is so helpful, to have some support. So at some point in my life, I actually realized I was not the only Buddhist in the Netherlands at all, and there were actually groups near me. I just had to look a bit harder, and I found some groups. You might know this wonderful teacher Thich Nhat Hanh. He's quite sick now, but he was still quite healthy back then, and he had a group in the Netherlands as well that I used to go to for years, and it was so lovely, those people, so nice. Yeah, so, but in the end, you noticed I traveled all the way to Australia to join a group of people to do the spiritual practice. And this comes back to what I just said. If you put your spiritual practice as the most important thing, then your life will change accordingly as well. I put my spiritual practice as the most important thing and decided I have to leave the Netherlands and join this weird guys in the weird clothes with the bald head, and because I was so inspired by Ajahn Brahm mainly, and I decided I want to go to Australia, and that's the opposite side of the globe. And I haven't seen my parents now in real life for 3 years or so, and it's been 8 years since I came here. I've been back a couple times, but basically, what I'm saying is people who are in a similar situation Maybe you can consider also going somewhere else where there's more Buddhists. Yeah? Maybe it sounds challenging, but it might be the right thing to do. If you are able to, of course. Yeah, it's always a life is. I once went to a monastery in England for a range retreat there. It's called Harnham Monastery. And there was this wonderful Italian man, and every day he would tell me a couple times in his Italian accent, which I can't do, but I'll try. He said, "Life is unpredictable. Life is unpredictable." That's what he always said. And that phrase comes into my head so often. So life is unpredictable. Maybe now you don't have any Buddhist friends locally, but who knows what happens. Maybe they'll pop up. Come there. Maybe you'll decide to travel and see some Buddhists somewhere. Travel to Thailand or Australia or wherever. I can relate to people who are in that situation, and I hope you will find a Sangha or meditators near you.
Thank you, Venerable.
Okay, then.
Anyone else?
I have one last question. Is there some way to access this later on, the teachings and what you just said? Or is this being recorded and put up somewhere? Is there some way to do that or not? Thank you.
Yeah, it will be on the YouTube, I think, if the recording worked. The talk, the Zoom or whatever it is, got interrupted, but we have a separate recording, so that should go on the internet. It should be full without any interruptions. So you can watch it on the BSWA YouTube channel. Okay, then.
Thank you, Venerable. Great.